This episode brought to you by Audible.
Oh, you missed it.
I missed it. I'm sorry.
Maybe if you weren't texting. AudibleTrial.com/horrorversion for 30 days free and a book to get you started. For your book recommendation, I think it is Mikey.
It's Mikey.
Today's book is John Dies at the End.
Spoilers.
It's a comic horror novel written by David Wong.
Oh, that's Daniel Pargin. He lives here in town. He lives in Nashville.
Oh.
He used to write for Cracked. In fact, before his website, Pointless Waste of Time, got bought up by Cracked. This was years ago. And now I think he's still at Cracked. I think he's one of the ones that did not get fired 2 years ago.
Well, that's good.
I actually like all of his books. He wrote like a couple of sequels.
Yeah, he's great. I'd love to meet him.
But it's a comedy horror and has a lot of creatures that are really funny to kill, like in this movie.
Yeah, and Daniel Pargin, if you're a listener and you're in town and want to grab some coffee or whatever, let's do this.
Yeah, we should
try to get him on the podcast.
That would be, no joke, awesome.
Well,
I would be starstruck the whole time.
No.
I've been reading his articles since fucking college.
Hey, you remember that one time when you wrote that thing? That was really
that was
fun.
So cool. You know, on second thought, we probably shouldn't have him.
Yeah. Fanning out over an author is not lost on me.
Well, listicles. Mm. This episode brought to you by
Nick B.
Nick B. Today's
up, Nick B.
Fun fact is one of his favorite films is Galaxy Quest.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Now really? I'm Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
It also had Professor Snape.
That's right.
Yes.
I love him. We were watching.
And Tim Allen. There's apparently a rated R cut of that movie somewhere, but it's like lost to time.
So guys, if you want to see that exclusive cut of Galaxy Quest, reach out to Nick B. I'm
sure
he's got it.
Yeah. Hey, demand it. Release the Nick B. cut.
I'm sure he's got the Nick B. cut. I love it. This episode also brought to you by
Rebecca.
Okay, Rebecca.
Uh-oh.
Rebecca, if a fat man puts you in a bag at night.
What?
Don't worry. I told Santa I wanted you for Christmas.
Ooh. No.
This is a dangerous precedent.
Yeah.
Hey, if you get kidnapped, don't worry about it. And if you want to look good coming out of Santa's sack, make sure you go to Rebecca's Etsy store, straight on till Disney, and get yourself some Disney ears.
Rebecca, I just want to confirm that you're locking your doors at night because I feel uncomfortable.
Don't forget to lock your chimney.
Ooh. Oh, Mikey, too soon for this movie. Yeah. This episode also brought to you by
Michael.
Wait, Michael's the one that wanted insults, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Did he wanted Mikey to insult him or you? Okay.
Yeah.
Mikey, it's up to you, baby.
All right, Michael. It's always horrible weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Does he make the weather nicer, though? Sometimes it's nice to be in there.
Just to have a friend that wants to spend time with you outdoors, Mikey.
I really like it when it rains, too.
You can go with him.
I would never go for a sleigh ride. What is this, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers? Am I right?
I was in that meeting.
Am I right? The pass is snowed in till spring, Mikey.
Mm-hmm.
This episode brought to you by Cody Roy.
Hey, Cody Roy.
Cody Roy's a time cop.
He's a time cop.
He's a time cop and a woodworker. So
right.
He's a woodworking time cop.
Well, this just in is what I heard about Cody Roy.
This just in.
He's a time cop, but what is he doing his time off?
Mm.
Oh, that's what you never get to ask a time cop.
It wasn't in the movie.
No, it wasn't.
He actually went back and met Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Oh, really?
That's a person?
Yeah. And he stuck a feather in his cab and called it macaroni.
What?
I've got fun facts about that song because I just did a bunch of research on it, actually.
Why?
For my job.
Oh, that's right. We
Why
all
did
have
they
jobs.
Call it macaroni?
Because effeminate men in England.
I feel
were...
personally attacked. I feel personally attacked.
They would wear macaroni wigs that were like gigantic wigs. They were basically making fun of like fabulous gay people in England. It's kind of a problematic song right now.
Well, thanks a lot, Cody Roy.
Wow, Cody Roy.
Cody Roy just got super high-roaded by Jim in a story you made up about him.
All right.
Let's move it on. This episode brought to you by Red Mappin'.
Red Mappin'.
You know what Red Mappin' scared of?
Uh-oh. What?
Reindeer.
Why?
On his roof.
They've got horns.
It's because he saw Bambi and he saw Bambi's mom get killed.
I get it. You know what I learned?
What?
Bambi is a boy.
Oh, yeah.
I learned that way later in life than I care to admit. This episode brought to you by
Matthew. Hey, Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
So Santa's sleigh was lost.
Uh-oh.
Right.
And like Ernest Saves Christmas, Matthew was in an electric chair and was electrocuted.
Wait.
And he had his magnetic electric lightning
That's
powers.
That's Ernest Goes to Jail.
Shut the fuck up.
And did he make Exit Camp too?
Yeah. and he saved the camp.
From the troll.
Yes, and Santa's sleigh.
That's all of them. Somebody get Vern immediately.
Ooh. He's dead.
They're all dead. Well, thank you for saving Santa. Yeah. Ernest style, Matthew.
And the Ernest franchise.
They should reboot those.
Yeah.
This episode also brought to you by...
Ryan.
Ooh, you know what time it is,
Jen. It's time for Jen to be mean.
It's time to Jen to turn the mean on. Somebody else. That's not Mikey.
Yeah.
I just want to apologize to Ryan.
Oh, it's going to get gross.
She never apologizes either.
Let me tell you the truth about Ryan. Oh. Ryan likes to talk a bunch of shit in a text thread and then call other people mean and then gives other people shit when they're just trying to plan out their podcast.
That's one take. We got it.
I feel like this is projection, like 100%. I feel like Ryan's name
Thank
is
you, Ryan.
A stand-in.
Ryan sounds like a douchebag.
Yeah.
Maybe he does.
Quote, unquote, Ryan, wanky blanky. Well,
it's not Ryan's fault. His humor doesn't translate on text. Jim,
read the text thread, Mikey.
Read.
I mean, Ryan. There are three rules about bringing in the theme music.
What are the rules?
Okay, rule number one.
I turn the water on and I go to like do the soap, but it came out so hard, it splashed back. It got on my ear and my shirt collar.
Wait, you got a soap facial?
Yeah.
But did your face get clean though?
No, because there are no paper towels to clean.
Did you stick your head under the air vent?
I don't know what to do.
Oh my gosh. Welcome to the Horror Virgin, everybody.
Oh my God.
I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your Horror Virgin Todd, which means I don't like scary movies and you guys make me watch them, except for this week, because we watched the 1984 Steven Spielberg produced Gremlins.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. It's a Mikey episode.
Yes, it is.
Oh, buckle up, everybody.
Yeah. So hang on. Have you guys seen this movie before?
I watched it a couple of years ago for the first time.
Okay, yeah. Mikey, you probably saw it when you were four.
Yes, I had a stuffed gizmo growing up.
No shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think my mom let me watch this when I was like 5 years old.
Your mom is the best and worst mother at the same time.
I've seen this movie a lot.
I've never seen this movie, so tonight was the first time I've seen it. I've seen Gremlins 2 a lot because it was on the TV all the time growing up.
Yeah.
So what did you guys think about it watching it today?
It's a 10 out of 10.
Would watch again.
Would watch again.
Oh my God.
If you rate movies on rewatchability, it's pretty high.
I mean, you've seen it many times. Jen, what about you?
I mean, it's not really my thing. I enjoy parts of it and it's fun. It's just, I remember when I was little, I was terrified of Labyrinth and.
Labyrinth?
Like the little.
Is it because you were so sexually attracted to David Bowie and I had no idea what to do with those feelings? Because listen, I get that.
He cast a spell on me.
Oh, just like Hocus Pocus.
It's Christmas time, everyone. Let's focus.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was terrified of Labyrinth, and anytime there were like sinister Muppets on anything, I wasn't into it. And that's what I thought this was going to be, and it was just, it's just not really my thing. So I never watched it when I was little. And
this is 100% the little critter that sits next to Jabba the Hutt if it got its own movie. Like the sound effects are the same, the laugh is the same.
That's not true, because that's... Oh my God, no.
My head explode.
No, but like it would be an evil gremlin if it was.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. One of the evil, slimy gremlins.
But not Gizmo.
No.
Gizmo's
is
a Mogwai.
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous is a bit much.
Sweetest thing ever.
Yeah, he's cute. So let's get into this fucking movie.
So it's Christmas in the 80s. Yeah, that's where we're starting.
That's where we're starting out, baby.
Yeah, and apparently Fleet Week.
It is Fleet Week because there are a lot of sailors walking around. Can I say Chinatown? It is Chinatown, right?
Chinatown.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're in San Francisco.
Yeah. Is it San Francisco?
I don't know that for sure. But there's sailors and there's Chinatown.
That makes sense. Listen, I get it.
It could be New York.
Both harbor cities. And we're voiceover narrated by the dad, right?
Yeah, from Rand Pelzer. He's got a story to tell and he's an inventor.
I hate the dad so much.
Yeah, he's not my favorite.
He's the worst character in any movie ever.
I hate him.
The worst character in any movie ever?
No, because Franklin exists. Oh. But I don't like the dad. He is like a deadbeat dad who is like a traveling salesman slash inventor mm-hmm. who doesn't do anything productive. So mm-hmm. his son has to take on like the
banking jobs.
Yeah.
He pays the bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His son should not be paying the bill.
And his family just humors him.
Yes.
The only thing he really invents is excuses.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit. You might be a therapist, Mikey.
I don't have dad issues at all.
I mean, there is a theme of absentee fatherism in this movie.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
It is a Mikey film.
This is why it resonates with you so much.
So he's trying to unload some of his inventions in Chinatown.
Yeah, he goes into a store to try and sell them on a pocket bathroom buddy?
Yeah, dude.
I hate the dad so much.
It's the prototype of the toilet buddy, which was invented by Michael Scott.
The toilet buddy
where it's a net around your toilet in case anything falls out.
What's the actual name of his invention?
It's the
bathroom buddy.
The bathroom buddy, yeah. Because it does so much more than toilet stuff. That sounds like a Craigslist ad. Hang on
one
second.
That's the whole thing I was like, this is vaguely.
Well, but look, when you say the words bathroom buddy, I'm not going to think of a self-care Swiss Army knife.
No, I'm going to think of Mikey when I have to go to the bathroom after watching a scary movie and I make him look behind the shower curtain for me. He's Aww. A bathroom buddy.
So some kid takes him down into this grandfather's basement store and he's looking for the perfect gift to give his kid.
I mean, I don't think he is. I think he's there trying to sell the bathroom buddy, but he sees Gizmo.
Yeah.
Or the Mogwai. I don't think he has the name
yet.
Did
you guys see the sign on the store?
No.
It said racial stereotype store.
I mean, yeah, it is. There's a lot of very dated racism in this movie.
Yeah. Like he says something and then a gong hit.
He says bad case of dragon breath.
And then gong hit.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I just wrote yikes in my notes.
Okay. Yikes is accurate for that part.
It's kind of a racist pun.
It is.
But dragon's breath is a real thing. They just shouldn't have used it in a racist way.
Right.
But so he's going, he is trying to find a great gift for his son.
Yeah.
Probably because he hasn't talked to his son in a while and he knows how hard his son's having to work to take his place.
Yeah. And he thinks his son is 14 and not 20.
Right.
So he buys him another pet.
Although it is really, really
it is
cute.
Adorable, but you're buying your kid another responsibility when he's taking on your responsibilities because you're a shitbag, horrible inventor who can't do anything right.
Welcome to Mikey's Movies. I think I might get into some stuff today.
Oh, man. You promised you wouldn't do this. If you end up laying down on the couch crying about your dad.
All right.
So the dad's looking around this shop.
Uh-huh. And he hears some cute little noises.
Yeah, he hears the cute noises.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes and finds...
And then the Mogwai.
Cute noise singing. Like, yeah. Making little singing sounds. It's so cute.
It is adorable. Like, there are points in this movie that are legit adorable.
I mean, I know the song.
Yeah.
It is really
clearly.
Sweet. But we don't see Gizmo just yet.
No.
Because we look and he says, oh my gosh, I have to have it. I'm going to give you $100 or no, $200. And it's kind of, I think it's making a commentary on like the hottest toy of the moment kind of thing.
Sure,
consumerism in America.
Well, I was just thinking that's the money he stole from his son that he's going to use to buy a gift for his son.
Yeah, because the dad's a deadbeat. And then the purveyor of said shop says,
no.
I can't sell it to you for any price.
Right.
Because with great Gizmo comes great responsibility.
Right.
He becomes Uncle Ben, and I loved it. It was awesome.
But grandson wants that money.
Yeah, he was like, everybody gets one.
Exactly.
He's like, I need a Nintendo immediately.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're awesome.
It's this game called Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Wait, was that the 90s?
No, it was 80s.
Oh, yeah,
you're
okay,
right.
Yes, yeah. All right. I got a video game thing right.
Yeah, you're doing
right.
It.
So they make...
Only 30 years old, but yeah, you got it.
So they make a shady Mogwai deal in the alley.
You know, where you make
like
shady
you
Mogwai deals.
Exactly.
My favorite part about this movie is that everyone comes across a creature. An animal that has never existed before.
Doesn't exist,
yeah.
And no one cares.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's so cute.
That's cool.
Even the fucking science teacher's like, oh, cool, let me just poke it and see what it's made of.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he doesn't report it to anybody. There should be a fucking Game and Wildlife Commission looking at this thing.
ATF?
Is it alcohol, tobacco, or firearms?
I don't know.
It is when they have a gun.
Yes, like the spiky haired dude loves revolvers.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay, we gotta.
But it is sentient.
Dude. The gremlins are fucking smart.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they are definitely advanced intelligence.
It is scary how smart they are. But let's get there.
How fast they learn.
Oh, my God. They're terrifying. Mm-hmm. Let's get there.
All right. So then we get the grandson voiceover telling us the three rules. So we've got one.
You cut a hole in the box.
Step two.
You put your junk in that box.
Step three.
You make her open the box. Then you've got a mogwai. Mikey's over here staring at me. Yeah.
How dare you disrespect this Christmas classic?
Yeah, I'm the one disrespecting it. No, the real rules are one.
Keep him out of the light. It'll kill him.
Two.
Don't get him wet.
And three.
Don't feed him after midnight.
Yeah, all of those
could
are the
apply
same rules I have on a first date.
Box.
Those are just my rules.
All right. So now we hear Christmas music and we're in Kingston Falls and yes. It's really happy. And some kid goes and smashes a girl in the back of a head with a snowball. And it is insane.
It is fucking
brutal.
She's
got brain damage.
Yeah.
Surely.
But you know what? That makes it the best credits ever.
It does.
That's true.
These credits are
credits.
Fucking fire. Like, shit happens. There's a hate crime at the very beginning of the movie.
I mean, it's like the scene in Dumb and Dumber where he just chucks the snowball inches away from her face.
She does react and go push him down.
That's
yes.
true, but I mean...
Yeah, she fights back. I'm into it. She's she's a great little kid, but yeah, it's rough.
It's like the first thing you see.
But it's like Ooh. It's basically like a Hallmark Movie Channel village.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It is very like
town square covered in snow.
Stereotypical snow. The snow in this movie is amazing.
Yes.
I want to live in this movie except without the gremlins and without the snowball throwing boys.
Yeah.
All right. So Billy's trying to get his car started because he's got to go to work and his car never starts.
Right. Because it's a Volkswagen.
It is. And his neighbor comes over and xenophobic shames his car.
Oh, yeah.
About being foreign and these goddamn foreign cars don't work. And we make stuff in America that's great.
And he drives a tractor places.
He does. But it's an American.
It was made in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a harvester. It's chasing the harvest like Ramon.
So he just walks the 20 feet to the job at
the
bank.
I love this. He can't get his car to start. So he runs to work that is 20 feet away where there is no parking.
Right.
So he would have had to like circle the block in his car and then drive back home, park, and walk to work. And he's lucky his car wouldn't start.
Exactly. Because it's a delightful snowy scene, too.
Yeah, it's fine. And he took his dog with him.
Yeah.
Did you notice that the harvester has a snowplow on it?
Oh, yeah.
So the snow-covered roads are that dude's fault.
Yeah, for real, man.
Why are you not doing your job? Why are you shaming my Volkswagen?
Too busy watching Fox News at home.
That's what it is.
No, he was at the bar drinking.
Yeah, he was shit-faced.
Mm-hmm. Sleeping it off.
So here's where I start to relate to Billy.
Oh, dear God. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I thought Billy was the neighbor. Go ahead. No. Sorry. I was confused. I was concerned.
I have a foreign-made car.
I have a Volkswagen. That's why I was offended.
Get out.
I love my Jetta.
So anyway, Billy takes his dog to work.
Yeah.
And like he takes it often. So I would take my chocolate lab, Maggie,
right,
to work with me.
God rest her soul.
Yes, God rest her soul.
I mean, I know personally you can't do that now because your dog right now is insane.
No. So anyway, Billy takes his dog to work, so I really connect with it. You can tell he's a nice guy because he's like checking on his other neighbor, and he's like polite to people, and he brings his dog.
Yeah.
And he's working at a bank, and you can tell he's not super happy, but his dad's deadbeat, and he's trying to like take care of his mom. And yeah, I'm starting to relate to this film a little bit. I'm starting to bring some stuff up.
And his co-worker is Phoebe Cates, and her name is Kate in the movie, which was helpful.
All right, so that's another reason I relate to Billy, because Phoebe Cates is my type.
Is she?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
And they kind of have a little thing for each other. They're kind of giving each other the eye. She definitely knows he's got a dog under his desk.
Oh, yeah, she does. She wants to pet that doggy.
But right now, it's on a leash.
It is.
He's also the only other male her age in the town.
No, not true.
Judge Reinhold
is there, but
Judge Reinhold
is
conservatively 35 years old, though.
25, and he's not 35 years old because he's going to be a millionaire by the time he's 30.
Oh, excuse me.
So that logic is foolproof. Yeah.
Apologies.
It is impossible for him to have been 30 now because
during
he's not
the boring part, he talked about how he wanted to date Phoebe Cates.
He's a dick.
He is a dick.
Then you see a mean old lady coming across town square.
With Mrs. Grumperson.
Yeah, with a fucking snowman head, like a porcelain snowman head. And she gets stopped by a lady with two kids and she's like asking her for money or asking her for like a loan or something like that.
And and the kids are like, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Like, she actually says, now you know what to ask for Christmas, which I think she meant food.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She she's did mean food.
She's the Grinch.
She's but you're right.
Worse.
Yeah, she's horrible.
The Grinch loved dogs.
That's true.
Yeah. But as she walks back into the bank, the kid does go off like you were saying and says, I'm hungry, Mom. And the mom goes, I am too.
I missed that part.
I was like, this movie is dark.
This movie is hilarious and
dark. And you know
what?
You never see them again.
No, because they starved to
so
death.
So they're dead somewhere. They either starved to death or they're currently dead by gremlin.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Gremlins could solve the food crisis.
People are not going to eat gremlins. So this lady goes into the bank.
Mm. Cuts in line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holds the head up like she beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like.
Her Bulgarian
Bavarian
snowman.
Bavarian snowman.
Yeah.
She's like, Billy, you're fucking dog broke my snowman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where the fuck is it? I'm going to murder your dog.
Yeah.
Also,
paraphrased, right. The dog's underneath the thing. He's like,
I know.
He unties the leash with his teeth. Because I thought he was just going to run away, but he wants to get that lady.
Yeah.
Because she's saying, we'll take him to the kennel and put him to sleep and it'll be real nice. Much better than what I want to do to him, which is kill him slowly and painfully.
Yeah.
Terrible. Right.
She's the worst. I hate this woman so much.
Yeah.
So much
terrible.
So that when she dies later, spoiler alert, I laughed and had a great time.
So the dog jumps up, barks at her, and runs off.
And breaks the head.
Yeah.
He finishes the job he started earlier and breaks the head. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. And then bites her. So now they're at a bar. And Judge Reinhold is there and being a dick.
Oh, yeah. And Judge Reinhold's like, you should have been applying for unemployment, but old man Winters, or whoever runs the bank, has a soft spot around the holidays. So.
Yeah, because the old lady's super rich, like Montgomery Burns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like owns a bunch of real estate. And so like when the dog thing, the bank manager gets super mad.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I would have fired you immediately because I'm Judge Reinhold and I'm a piece of shit.
And then Todd's like, why does this bar have popcorn instead of peanuts?
That's gross.
Popcorn's good.
But think of the 80s. It would be filled with smoke in there. There would be people spilling alcohol on your popcorn. You don't want soggy, smoke-filled popcorn.
Why is any of that better with peanuts?
Because they don't absorb as much liquid. One, you're not supposed to get it wet because it just explodes into more popcorn. But two, it starts to shrivel and take on the shape of the liquid.
Also, don't feed popcorn after midnight.
No. And now Phoebe Cates also works at this bar.
Yeah, because I guess Reaganomics has already fucked up America and she has to have two jobs. Yeah. It's also a convenient way to get her in that scene.
It is.
Or just in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So she walks across the street, works at the bar afterwards.
Right.
But also, how does the inventor dad, they have a whole house and the kid.
I mean, I'm sure he probably makes some money.
It's Billy keeping the food on the table.
Oh,
or
maybe definitely.
Maybe he had a job and then quit it to be an inventor and like follow his dream or something. And that's how they have the house. I don't know. I mean,
it's too bad his dream is his family's nightmare. Yeah.
They gotta clean up after all those.
I feel like when you say shit like that, you should put your sunglasses on and she should go. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So speaking of stupid inventions, and there's some stupid egg thing that cracks a bunch of eggs, wasting food.
Do we have to talk about every stupid invention? There's a stupid egg cracking thing. There's a shitty coffee maker. There's a fucking horrible orange juice maker.
Stupid hammer thing.
Just assume that anything that is in this house that the dad touches doesn't work and it's horrible.
Right. And so the mom and the son are kind of bonding over how much they hate these inventions.
Yeah. And how much they hate their dad.
Him and his mom have a really close relationship.
They do. Honestly, that mom is the best character
in
the movie. She's my favorite.
Yes. So the dad gets home, and every time somebody walks through this door, this sword falls off, which is just terrible decorating. I bet the dad did it. But he was on a trip trying to sell this bathroom buddy around, but now he's got the Mogwai toy in his hand, and he's about to give it to Billy.
You say toy like it's not a real living creature. Yeah, no, it is. But so he does give it. He gives him this present and says, well, it's not going to hold till Christmas, so open it now. And Billy's like, is it another puppy? And the dog goes, but it's not another puppy.
It's not
a Mogwai.
It's Gizmo.
Yeah.
And it's
I love Gizmo.
Cute.
Yeah. It is adorable.
But Gizmo is just so cute.
Yes.
And I just love him. And so everybody in the family loves him. And they're like trying to take pictures of him. And the light scares him, which we'll come back later.
Yeah, the flash. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they're upstairs and he's singing and playing a teeny tiny piano with
this
Gizmo.
This is where we find out that he has perfect pitch.
He does. That's
he's a musical genius.
He is. That's not easy.
No.
But he does. does all these super cute things with Gizmo. Like, he puts a Santa hat on him, and then he, like, puts a bandage on his head when he falls into the trash can, and it's just so cute.
It is adorable. The, like, yeah. For the first 30 minutes of this movie, not much happens other than we meet the cast of characters and see how adorable Gizmo is.
And
how
Billy's nice, and he takes care of him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Billy's like, a sweet guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we meet Corey Feldman, who walks into the house dressed as a tree.
No, because he works at the Christmas tree lot.
Ah.
He does. He's in his work uniform, Jen.
No, that was a tree he was delivering.
I know.
But he was wearing a tree costume.
He was.
Yes.
He walked in the door, and I thought he was carrying a tree. But no, he was. He had a
no,
tree
he was carrying
harness.
A tree too,
he was like, doing both.
But he was also dressed as
yes,
a tree.
He oh was God. Dressed as a Christmas
That's
tree.
Terrifying.
It yeah. is. It's very meta.
I'm not buying a tree from somebody dressed as a tree.
So he shows Corey Feldman Gizmo.
But Pete is asking Billy where he can get a Gizmo. Oh my God, why is that funny? Why was it funny?
Okay, I'm going to put this on track here.
Everybody wants their
own Gizmo.
So he's
like, look, this thing is sick.
So Corey Feldman's playing with Gizmo. He asks Billy where he can get one. And then Billy walks over. And I think it's Feldman who spills the water
so
on Gizmo.
Yeah. He's like, he can sing too. Let's play the piano.
Yeah, right. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And there's like,
oh, I just knocked over everything on your desk.
Yeah.
Ruined everything.
He's like a 13-year-old clumsy kid. That makes sense.
I knock stuff down a lot.
So water spills on Gizmo's back. And it's really sad because he starts like squealing and writhing
it's
around.
In pain.
Yeah, it's yeah. terrible.
But
sweet.
Good news. He just pops out 5 new Gizmos.
He does. Anyway, so fur balls are popping out all over the place.
Yes.
And they're starting to grow. And so 5 new Mogwais show up. And one has a stripe on its head and bites Corey Feldman.
He's the bad one.
He is the evil one.
I know.
So now Dad is admitting some kind of carb bullshit. And the kid goes in, Billy goes in to talk to him. And to tell him that the Mogwai are multiplying with water. And so they go in and the new Mogwais have just ruined their Christmas by opening all of the presents and destroying their Christmas tree.
Yes,
and
because they're troublemakers. They're troublemakers.
Mischievous. Really.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So the new ones aren't like Gizmo and they are mischievous and evil and terrible.
Yeah. Gizmo's sweet. These are dicks.
They are. Yeah. Especially Stripe. He's like King Dick of Mogwai Mountain.
Yep. Can't confirm.
That's going to be my Twitter handle.
Once you figure out how to use Twitter.
I don't know how to change my Twitter handle.
So the dad has this genius idea that he'll just appropriate something that doesn't belong to him and sell it.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going to want one. It'll be the newest craze.
Oh, my God.
This magical creature that nobody seems to think is mysterious or magical at all.
It's just like Furbies.
Yeah.
This actually all happened.
Except it didn't turn out so bad.
Yeah, they weren't real.
Did it?
No, they didn't kill anybody.
Did they?
Called it.
I think the government covered it up. All right. But the dad's got this brilliant idea that is actually making him terrible.
Yeah, he said.
The dad's the worst character in this movie.
He said, oh, these could replace the family dog as pets.
And yeah.
The dog did not like that at all.
He unties his leash, too, and just menacingly stares at the dad. All right. So now it's all bedtime, and they all snuggle up, and it's so cute. And then we hear Stripe is pretending to be asleep.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's
looking
not really
around
asleep.
Mischievously.
Yes.
And then we hear, and the dog is, like, hung up by the Christmas light.
Yeah.
Outside in the freezing cold with snow.
I did not like that scene, just knowing the dog had to hang there.
Yeah. It was really sad.
It was sad.
They torture that dog throughout this movie, too.
They really
in that
do.
Last scene, with like the fight scene, they're torturing that dog.
Oh,
that
poor little
they
guy.
They run over his little pauses.
Aww.
It's adorable.
But the car is like a Barbie car, so it probably didn't hurt that much. But
well, it startled them.
So now Pete's at school for some reason, creeping around an elementary school.
He takes one Mogwai to his science teacher.
Wait, Corey Feldman takes that?
No, Corey Feldman is just at school being a kid. Billy shows up at Pete's school to go talk to a science teacher.
Right, but it's Pete's science teacher, right?
It is. Yeah. I guess it was like Billy's former science teacher or something. But
I mean, it's a small town. It would stand to reason that it went to the same school.
It is.
Yeah.
There's probably only one science teacher, you know?
Yeah.
And so they're like going to do some tests or something. And the science teacher wants to keep one of them there and run tests.
And he does.
They do the little thing with the water. So
again, very nonchalant about it. Potentially right. alien creature that can produce 9 times of itself with just a drop of water.
And kill you. All right. So now Billy's walking home and he walks past a bar with the door wide open, even though it's snowing, and drunk neighbor is in there about to drive his snowplow home.
Oh my God.
That's just parked out in the middle of the road. And Phoebe Kate is being really sweet to him. him. I'm like, hey, I think you just need to go on home, and you definitely shouldn't drive.
But he's also explaining what gremlins are. Gremlins were a thing in World War II.
They were.
And he was a pilot. I don't know if you guys caught this, but he had like a pilot jacket. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is a pilot.
So
yeah.
He was like a fighter pilot in World War II, and he was always talking about how a certain ethnicity of people put gremlins in their planes to tear them apart.
Right.
Was it Irish?
It's not Irish people, Mike.
No. So,
anyway, he's being racist as fuck.
He is. And he sees that somebody has messed with his snowplow.
Yes.
And it won't work.
Well, I don't know if it won't work, but they convince him to walk home.
Yeah, they're like, maybe you should walk. He's like, yeah.
Because you're shit-faced.
He is shit-faced. Yeah.
And the last thing you need to do is plow through a bunch of buildings on your way home.
Literally plow home.
So look, those gremlins just saved countless lives.
They absolutely did.
Yeah. No, they're the heroes of the story.
Or Billy and Phoebe Cates. Yeah.
Not the gremlins.
All I know is that drunk man goes home not by driving the plow. He walks home to plow his wife.
Yeah. I mean, she does seem in a very good mood the next time
does.
We see them. Yeah.
I was honestly super surprised he was married.
I was too.
I was like, oh, someone's going to marry this hateful man.
Mm-hmm.
She was probably waiting on him to come back from World War II.
Yeah, he's way too young to have
flown
World
War II. I don't know about this timeline going on.
Yeah, because he's probably 50, and it's the 80s, and if he flew in World War II, that shit ended in 45.
Well, maybe he lied about his age.
Yeah, he joined when he was three.
So now Phoebe Cates is talking about how she doesn't celebrate Christmas.
When she said that at first, I was like, oh, cool, she's Jewish. Like, I had no idea. I had no idea it was because she had, like, this horrible story. I just thought it was like she was Jewish or something.
Yeah, or like a religion that doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Billy's at home eating a sandwich, and Gizmo is learning to talk, and it's so sweet. And the other ones
are
just
watching TV together.
They are, yeah, yeah.
They're watching that old movie where the guy's driving a car like a race car. Yeah.
Yeah, and Gizmo is downloading the information matrix style so he can drive a car later. and the other ones are just bopping around in a box. So they're hungry, and Billy looks at the clock and sees it's like 11:30.
It's like 11:30, it's not past midnight. Mm-hmm. We're cool. We can feed them turkey
legs.
Now, this could be all Billy's fault because he's snuggling in bed with Gizmo, and he has the other Mogwai in a cardboard box on the floor.
They ruined his Christmas tree and opened all his presents.
They didn't know better.
This is not Billy's fault. They sabotaged the clock.
I'm talking about if he would have treated them like Gizmo, it's nature versus nurture.
If they would have acted like Gizmo, they would have been treated like Gizmo.
How dare you blame Billy for this? He was clearly bamboozled by Stripe.
Okay, so now Billy goes to get a giant plate of fried chicken.
Yeah, because it's 11:35 or whatever. It's fine. It's not breaking one of the rules.
He brings them the fried chicken, and they eat it. And there are some racial undertones in
this.
Yeah. Did you guys pick this up? That there are a lot of African-American stereotypes in this movie. That's a criticism this one gets.
What?
Oh, really?
Asian stereotypes and
Asian stereotypes we definitely get a lot of, especially at the beginning.
Yeah.
I didn't get the African-American ones.
No, I did not get that.
I did. Yeah. They're eating fried chicken.
Yeah.
I'm crazy
fried
on
chicken.
It. And then when they're in the bar, there's a lot of stereotypical.
Yeah. Okay. I do see it there more. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think if this were the only part of it, I don't think it would stand out so much. But what I'm saying is a lot of people have criticized this movie for these racial stereotypes.
I can sort of see that.
I can see the bar scene.
And I also think it was the 80s. And we're not saying that this was okay in the 80s. We're saying this was something that you see a lot in the
80s. Like that gong hit.
Exactly. That would not have stood out.
Yeah.
Because the same actor who's the old man in the bank was in 16 Candles, which is a movie I loved for a long time, and then realized that that's got a lot of problematic shit too.
Yeah.
We just see things through a different lens. I'm not saying this movie is bad. I'm not saying it did anything wrong. I'm not saying you can't like this movie. What I'm saying is these are things that existed, and if we can talk about them now, we stop making movies like this.
Yeah.
You know?
And I do see it a lot more in this next scene that you referenced than this one.
Mm-hmm.
But they all eat the fried chicken except for Gizmo. Gizmo's like, nah, I'm good.
Because he's a good guy.
He is a good guy, and he can tell time.
So later on, they all turn into gross alien cocoons.
Yes. They go into metamorphosis
or some kind of stasis.
Yes.
Like
the cocoon phase.
Yeah.
Cocoon phase.
But the same thing happens to the guy in the science guy, right?
Yeah.
Not Bill Nye. The science teacher.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he takes his, he ran a blood test earlier on his gremlin.
And he fed it too, right?
No, he was eating his own sandwich and instead of cleaning after himself, just left it on the table for bugs to get all over the
place. Well, it's winter, there's no ants.
So Mogwais become gremlins only if they eat after midnight.
Yes. So, but they first go into a gross, slimy cocoon.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what happens. So Billy wakes up and they're cocooned out, except for Gizmo. Mm-hmm. And then the scientist comes back to work, cocoon.
The dad, instead of being home with his family on Christmas, is at some kind of bonkers invention convention.
Welcome to Invention Convention 84.
Yeah.
It's like just him and Miss Frizzle.
What a waste of time.
Miss Frizzle and H.G. Wells.
I love Miss Frizzle.
Well, she would go to Invention Convention.
Would she?
You nailed that word, Mikey.
Oh, yeah.
I can't talk.
I do love in this scene, though, like he's on the phone and behind him is the time machine.
From H.G. Wells.
And then it cuts away to like the other side of that conversation. And then when it cuts back, it's gone. And there's the guy like looking at where it was. Like,
where did it go? Like checking his watch.
That shit's so amazing. Funny. Yeah.
There are a lot of Easter eggs in that little scene that I did not totally get, but I will link an article that says all of the crazy stuff. Because I think they had a lot of fun with that scene. And like, I think Spielberg or some of the writers might be in that. I'll link the thing that
that's
has
cool.
all. So now we're back in science class and he's watching a movie with his students and starting to notice that this gross cocoon might be having another change that is a little unsettling and off-putting and maybe you should keep an eye on, but he doesn't.
It's like puberty.
Yeah.
Also, you should not have a animal that nobody knows what it is in a room full of students who are 12.
Exactly. Or a room full of you.
Also true. That is also true.
But we also see all of the five gross cocoon eggs that are starting to
hatch
in the attic. And Gizmo's hiding in this football helmet, and it's really cute.
It is really
Gizmo's
adorable. So yeah. He's the best.
So now it has erupted, but run off.
Yeah, it did.
Mikey style.
Yeah.
And so he comes, he's trying to lure him back with a candy bar.
Yes. And him being the science teacher, right? Yeah.
And not someone just driving by with candy bars in a van.
Right, yeah. It's the science teacher trying to get the now gremlin, because they become gremlins when they hatch the cocoon, right?
Yeah. And it's after class. There's no other students and the power's out. Yeah. For some reason, the lights are off. I don't know.
Because he's showing the movie.
Yeah, he was showing the movie.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah.
Yeah. So he gets under the table and like the gremlin starts eating the Snickers bar and then...
If you're going to lure anything with a candy bar, make it a Snickers.
It would work, man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Snickers are the best.
The nugget?
Come at me, Milky Way nerds.
Yeah. But he's like, hey, I'm sorry for doing that blood test. Please don't be mad. Just eat the Snickers bar. You'll love it.
Yeah.
You're kind of cranky when you're hungry.
Exactly. And it was cranky because it kills him and then stabs him in the butt with a shiv.
Gnaw on his arm. Well, no, it's a syringe.
It's a syringe. Yeah.
And let me tell you, child Jennifer saw that image of that guy with a syringe sticking out his butt and it really disturbed me.
You were like super into it.
No. Oh my gosh, you can be killed by getting stabbed in the butt? It really scared me. I don't know why it scared me so much.
How old were you when you realized you couldn't die from being stabbed in the butt? Was it when you watched Forrest Gump? It's whatever.
But so, and he's gotten his revenge for all of that blood work he did.
He being the gremlin got revenge on the science teacher, so he stabbed him in the butt with a syringe.
I'm not a huge fan of the scene because the movie's like, we're not going to show you the gremlins yet, so you don't see anything. You only see the syringe in the butt, and then he flies through the vent.
The gremlins are playing hard to get.
Yeah, they are. They're making you work for it, Mikey.
They are. Ugh. It's going to take more than a Snickers bar to show me this gremlin.
You've paid a lot more to see a lot less, Mikey.
God.
So now Billy's there.
Yeah.
And we see a little gremlin hand reaching for an apple. So we start to see a little tease of this gremlin.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't leave yet. Billy comes.
Right. And so he jumps out of a cabinet right next to Billy's head. And this scene actually reminded me a lot of House 2.
Wait, we're not quite there yet. Billy comes into the classroom and sees the teacher dead on the floor. Mm-hmm. And he goes to pick up the phone to make a call. And the gremlin hand scratches his hand.
That's right.
And then he runs out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then Billy's like sort of running around the school or whatever. He tries to call his mom, and that's when he runs and like he hits a cabinet and the gremlin pops out of the cabinet.
Yeah.
And that's the first time we see one.
He does call his mom. He says, mom, they're hatching out of house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And mom goes into badass mode.
She does.
She's the best character in the movie.
She really is.
Hears a lot of shenanigans upstairs.
Oh,
she does.
Yeah. And she does what any mom would do when she hears people having fun upstairs.
Yeah.
She grabs a knife.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But they've got Gizmo up on a dartboard.
Yeah.
And they're throwing darts at Gizmo.
They're torturing him.
I know.
Because they're shenanigans.
Jerks.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Yeah.
But they eventually throw him down a laundry chute.
They do, yeah, which saves his life. It does.
But mom goes up the stairs with a knife ready to just throw down.
And then we see Stripe has pulled the power cord.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm, they are smarter than they should be.
Oh, my God. It wasn't just the power cord. He pulls the phone cord, too.
Uh-huh.
Like, he works for AT&T now, so he knows how to, like, disable phones.
And then Power Move puts, "Do you hear what I hear?" on the record player. And then the mom turns it off before the best part.
I will say this movie does use Christmas music in really creepy ways.
It does. It mm-hmm. makes a lot of it. It puts it into a, like, a minor key and slows it down. It feels very eerie.
Yeah. And so she's creeping around the house with her knife, and she sees a gremlin eating her gingerbread cookies that she slaved all night to look mediocre.
They looked like shit.
They did, but I bet they were probably delicious.
Mom.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they were delicious.
But this was before Pinterest.
That's true.
You know.
It's before Nailed It, the Netflix show.
I love that show.
So great.
So the mom just happens to walk by the kitchen, seeing a gremlin in an open-faced blender.
Oh, my God.
And just, like, nonchalantly pushes the button and blends the fuck out of this thing.
Finally a use for one of these stupid inventions.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it grinds him up, man. Yeah.
And it explodes all over the kitchen.
It does. It's really gross. And then another one starts chucking plates at her. And does she let the plates defeat her?
No.
No. She stabs the fuck out of that gremlin.
First she grabs a TV tray and uses it as a shield.
Yeah.
She's like a fucking
Roman
century.
Like style.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. But then she murders that one, and then the one that she puts in the fucking microwave.
She sprays it with cooking oil and backs it up into the microwave and turns the microwave on and explodes it.
Mom is brutal.
She is amazing.
And when she's done in the kitchen, she grabs a second knife.
My favorite part of the movie.
She's dual-wielding knives.
Yeah. She grabs the knife, and then a second later is like, nah, I need another knife.
Oh,
so she double fists these fucking knives. It's awesome.
Yeah, she's the best. I wish we had just followed her the rest of the movie.
I kind of
agree.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
It was at this point where you're like, okay, I see why you like this.
Oh, yeah, Mikey.
It's awesome.
Then she goes into the front room. She thinks there's one on the other side of the room, so she goes over there, but it was a red herring.
Yeah,
There's one in the Christmas tree, and the whole Christmas tree falls on her. And it looks like she's being sexually assaulted by a Christmas tree, but it's because there's a gremlin in it. And this is when Billy comes home, grabs the sword off the wall that didn't fall this time.
You're right,
and
it
then
didn't.
Swings the sword and decapitates
a gremlin.
And it goes into
the
fireplace.
Fire.
And then you hear it screaming, even though it's decapitated in the fire.
But I love the way the gremlin's eyes opened in the tree because it almost looked like Christmas lights.
It did, It was great.
And this is like a really cool, interesting part of this movie because it's just really dark stuff happening with these iconic like Christmas holiday like symbols, you know? Mom is a badass.
Yeah, she's the best, although we don't see her anymore the rest of the movie until the very end.
But, you know, she's done enough. She just single-handedly took out four of them.
Yeah.
In like,
well, she got an assist from Billy on that last one.
Did.
But yeah, I mean, she's done enough.
So now Stripe is the only one left and he bones out the window because he reads the writing on the wall. He knows he is no match for the mom.
Yeah, he's like, all four of my friends just got murdered. Let's get out.
Yeah, I got to go find some water.
Right. Yeah. So dad's still at that bonkers convention and Billy is walking to the YMCA and notices that the door has been smashed open.
Why was he going to the YMCA?
He's tracking.
Oh, he was
tracking
following
the tracks.
Footprints. That's
right. He's got
right.
the sword. He's got Gizmo in the backpack. Mm-hmm. He's tracking Spike to kill him.
Yeah.
And honestly, if he had killed him, that's the end of the movie.
He got close.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so Stripe's going for the pool because he wants to make an army of gremlins.
Yeah. And he does.
He does. Yeah. He breaks in and he jumps into the pool after like throwing something or attacking Billy.
He like gets by him.
He does,
I think he was like in a vent or something and he jumps out like by him, knocking Billy to the ground or something. And then he jumps in the pool. And this effect was pretty cool.
Yeah.
This was pretty cool. I was like, this is real.
Yeah. It was like the pool becomes this big bubble.
It looks like
green.
A big hot tub with dry ice in it.
It does, and I think it was liquid nitrogen.
Okay, fair enough.
That's what my research
starts smoking and bubbling. And
yeah, it's really cool.
The gremlins reproducing in there.
Just a bunch of hocus pocus, you know? So now Billy goes to the cops, and we see Mike from Breaking Bad.
A thin Mike from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, a young Mike with less silver hair, and a much more incompetent Mike.
Yes.
Because this Mike is terrible.
Yeah, the cops are horrible in this movie.
Yeah, he's learned a lot.
They get murdered, so don't worry about
it. I mean, they're like drunk.
Yeah.
In this scene.
And don't take anything in their town seriously.
Both cops on duty are drunk.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
But they don't believe him that there are fantastical creatures running around.
Right? Yeah. The guy says they're gremlins, and you're like, well, that's not a thing. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah, maybe you're drunk.
So now there's a gremlin army roaming the streets.
Yeah. Literally, we see them stop motion walk down the street.
Yeah. And so we see old man neighbor who hates foreign cars and his wife are watching TV and the gremlins have been messing with a satellite and he goes outside and then the snow plows through his garage.
Sorry,
the snow plows through his garage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it's being piloted by gremlins.
Yeah. Yes. Just going to town. They're having a lot of fun, too.
Dude, it just, yeah. The gremlins in this movie are like hyenas. They just laugh the whole movie. Mm-hmm. They sound like Jabba the Hutt's companion.
Yeah,
it was like if hyenas were sentient and evil.
So now he plows into the house.
The gremlins do, yeah.
The gremlins do.
And the old guy's like, it's gremlins.
It's a real gremlin.
He does die doing like the biggest I told you so to his wife.
Uh-huh. Spoiler alert, they don't die.
They don't?
They're in the sequel.
What?
What?
How do they live through that? They get hit by a snowplow.
I don't know, but they go visit New York in the sequel.
Holy shiz. Are you serious?
Yes.
They just automagically don't die.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now the cops are all playing with Gizmo and they get a phone call about the snowplow and the cops go to check it out. And now Stripe gets to Miss Deagle's house.
Yeah.
And she's Mrs. Grinch. This is when we find out she's got 9,000 cats.
Well, yeah. And her husband's dead. She has this big house to herself.
Yeah.
She's got a shitload of cats like you were saying.
And she's kind to those cats. All right. So she's feeding her billion cats and then she hears Christmas carolers and becomes enraged and gets a bucket of water to throw on these carolers. But she's about to throw water on these carolers who are only trying to spread joy.
Right.
But surprise, it's the gremlins caroling.
Were they singing the Christmas carol from The Grinch?
Were they?
I don't know, but that would be an awesome touch. Yeah.
I don't know what were they. They were singing a Christmas carol.
That'd be a sick Christmas burn.
That'd be awesome. Anyway, so it scares the shit out of her because it's a terrifying thing to see. This is what makes the gremlins super terrifying is they get pop culture references.
Uh-huh.
They understand that they're caroling.
Yeah.
They understand they should be dressed like Santa.
They're very meta.
They're super smart, and that's terrifying.
Yeah.
They're like the Deadpool of like horror creatures.
Yes. And think about this. The gremlins outside know enough to know that they are the misdirection while Stripe messes with her chair to kill her. They're insane. Anyway, so she gets scared. She goes back inside. She sits in the chair trying to go back upstairs slowly. But Mikey, this is your favorite kill, so I'm going to let you explain it.
So she gets her chair uppins.
Wow.
It's starting to go up.
Yeah, so it starts to go up and it slingshots her up. The
holy shit.
Four story house she lives in.
It goes around four times.
It does, but this is clearly only a two story house, but it goes around nine times.
Yeah.
And then she flies out the top window of the house.
It's amazing.
And we see her Wicked Witch of the West style with her feet frozen
in the chair.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Right in front of the cops.
It is a great kill.
And the cops are just sitting there watching it.
Yeah, like nothing happened. Like, and this is also when the guy who's dressed as Santa has gremlins all over him and walks up to the car and all the cops do are like roll up the window, turn the lights on and drive away.
Yeah.
And Stripe has also disabled the brakes on their car. So the cops drive off.
Uh-huh.
They get cut off by a truck and they can't brake.
Yeah.
So they drive and like flip off of another car.
And the other car careens into another building and they probably die.
Yeah.
It's becoming chaos. The movie is going insane right now.
It's becoming the last 5 minutes of An American Werewolf in London.
That's true.
Which is great.
And all of that shit's in a roundabout too.
So the cops are dead. And that's where
Are they dead or do they come back in the second one?
They don't come back.
I don't trust the rules of this movie.
Also, this is where Spike gets his guns.
Oh my God. This is where he realizes his love of revolvers.
So now we cut back to Kate at the bar where there are gremlins just rampaging all over the place. Stereotypes are flying all around. They're wrecking the joint. They're laying on the bar. They're drinking from the tap. They're playing poker. One is dressed up all fancy. Stripe shoots one of them.
Stripe had also one dressed up like a woman to be his woman.
Yeah.
And then that woman saw the cards, came back, and then shot. Then Spike was like, I'm going to shoot this guy. And he killed the other gremlin.
What are you going to do? You know?
Yeah, you got to kill him.
Yeah.
This is the scene you were talking about where it is a little problematic. Yeah.
Yeah, because we start to see a gremlin that looks like Ray Charles and one who's like a jazz singer or something. And then one comes up with some weird puppets to talk to this.
And then the weird guy.
The weird jazz singer hits him with a hammer.
Yeah.
It's so
I guess
weird.
That's why I never noticed the racial stereotypes, just because of the batshit insanity everywhere.
And now we have an 80s dance party gremlin scene, and I really think that...
Oh, it's like Flashdance.
It is, yeah.
They're trying to shoehorn every 80s reference into this scene ever.
I think they just did a bunch of coke for a weekend, and they're like, what can we do with these gremlins puppets?
Yeah.
What kind of sets do we have left over?
Well, let's make one of them a woman.
All the leftover stuff gets used in the sequel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the sequel's bonkers.
Sign me up, guys.
See you next year.
I don't think it takes place at Christmas, does it?
I honestly don't know.
All right, so one of them's got three cigarettes in its mouth, but refusing to let Kate actually light the cigarette for him because he keeps moving his head around like a dick. But Kate finally lights it, and the light scares it away, and that's when she figures out that her camera flash is the perfect weapon.
And meanwhile, all of these gremlins have lit cigarettes. So how did they light those fucking cigarettes?
Car lighters.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, so now Billy's car is finally starting and he's driving through this chaos in the streets, and he saves feet. Well, Kate saves herself because she takes all these pictures. Oh, and there's one who's got a mask on and is robbing her at gunpoint.
Yeah.
And
shoots. Insane. Like, she ducks at the last minute, but that guy shoots at her.
Yeah.
And then that's when Billy comes up with his Volkswagen and flashes the lights.
Yeah.
And then she runs out. Mm-hmm. They get in the Volkswagen, and now the Volkswagen won't start.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, it just stopped working, so they have to make a run for it.
They do. But they do. They get there. There's chaos in the streets, but they get to the bank, and the bank has been destroyed. And now she's got another reason to hate Christmas.
Well, this is where we find out why she doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Where did they run to?
The bank.
Oh, right.
We just said that. Welcome to the conversation.
All right. So on Christmas Eve, when she was 9 years old.
I love this part. One, I'm attracted to broken women. Two, wow.
Whew, do we need two?
Yeah. I think one is enough. I do love that when she starts talking about this very heavy, very sad story about her dad dying in the chimney pretending to be Santa Claus, Billy is not paying attention. Yeah. Billy is walking around looking at other shit. All I'm saying is that Gizmo is the only person that's actively listening in that scene to her say this.
He's listening. He's just looking at stuff.
No, he's not listening.
He's not listening.
He's like looking around under desks. He's like pretty far away from her.
This story's a little drawn out.
You're going to critique the way she tells the story of her dad dying. You're a goddamn therapist.
But I'm not
her therapist. Holy shit.
So anyways, they almost cut this scene out because they were like, what the fuck is this? This comes out of nowhere and never comes back. And they're like, I don't understand if this is supposed to be sad or if this is supposed to be funny. But they decided to leave it in because they were like,
that's a ballsy move.
It fits the tone of the movie, too.
It does, yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this movie supposed to be, too?
Anyway, we find out that her dad was trying to surprise them by climbing down the chimney with presents, but broke his neck.
Yeah.
And they didn't find him until a few days later when he started to smell.
Yeah.
No, that's the best part because, like, the way she tells it. It's like, she's like, Christmas morning, he doesn't show up.
Yeah.
3 days later, we get cold. I go to light a fire, and that's when I
noticed smelled the smell.
Ooh, that smell.
She's like, we called the fire department expecting that they would pull out a dead animal from the chimney. But
and they did.
They pulled out my dead dad.
And then Gizmo gets a reaction shot.
Yeah. Yeah, because Billy's not paying attention. Gizmo's the one who like carries the emotional weight of that reaction shot.
Yeah. Gizmo.
Billy's like, oh, I'm looking for a flashlight or something. What were you saying?
All right.
Yeah. Then she ends it with, and that's how I found out that there was no Santa Claus.
Oh, my God.
That is how it ends. Yeah.
If your kids are in the car, there totally is a Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's how our Christmas dreams went up in smoke.
Oh, my God.
They go out of the bank and they're like, it's almost light and it's eerily silent. So
that's right.
So
that's right.
Like, they must be hiding together somewhere to go through the night.
Yeah.
Or go through the day.
And they see the hellscape that the town has become.
There's like fires in the background and stuff.
There is. Yeah. And like Sleep in Heavenly Peace is playing.
But it's like creepy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's how you know that like everyone in the town is dead because no one else is coming out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like in all the scenes before, there's like people getting attacked in the background the whole time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We didn't talk about Corey Feldman shooting BBs out his window at all. Yes.
Oh,
and
my God.
Never see him again.
We don't. No. Yeah.
He didn't make it. He's not in the sequel.
So they're watching a movie and it's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah.
And they all start singing Hi Ho.
Yeah, they do.
And so does Gizmo from Inside the Backpack.
It's adorable.
It's so cute.
Listen, yeah, I am aware of the criticisms of Quentin Tarantino like ripping off other movies, but I definitely think he ripped off this movie for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because they decide to blow up this theater.
Yeah, and retconning history.
Yes.
Like the Gremlins 100%. Didn't take over the world after the war. Of Christmas.
We're on to you, Quentin Tarantino.
So, Stripe goes to get candy because they're all out of Milk Duds.
Yeah.
Saving his life.
They're all sitting in the theater and he runs out of popcorn and candy. So he gets up and goes. And he actually goes to the concession stand in the theater, but it's like out.
Yeah, right.
So then he looks and is like sees a candy sign in the department store. So he goes over there.
Yeah. But, yum, yum.
Yeah. This is when Billy and Phoebe Cates goes to the boiler. They break the gas main in the boiler or whatever and then light that thing. It's like a long...
It's like a newspaper fuse.
Yeah. So, and then they leave. Yeah. But as they're leaving, the movie stops playing and they can now be seen behind the screen they were there. This is a pretty cool shot when like all the gremlins start running at the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, that was all, I'm sure that was done easily, but it looks kind of cool. And then the gremlins like scrape through the screen and start chasing them. And then they Hodor the door closed behind them.
Too soon, Todd. Local Stark ruins everything.
Too soon. Game of Thrones ended terribly and now I hate the whole show.
I'll say this though. I saw Hodor DJing at Comic-Con. And it was amazing. He was dressed like Hodor.
Aww.
And every time the beat would drop, he would yell, Hodor! And everyone would lose their minds. It was hilarious. Anyway, so they leave. The theater explodes. And they're like, yeah, we did it.
Yeah. But
then we notice.
So
but this is when they realize that they didn't get them all because
they
Stripe
didn't.
Is still out
he's
and on the loose.
And he's refueled with a ton of candy.
Oh, yeah. He's really hopped up on candy.
He's eating Milk Duds. He's watching all his friends burn to death.
He can make more.
And he's like, Billy.
Yeah.
These are all his children. So now he goes to the department store and they can't let him get to water. So the chase is on.
Yes,
so
it is.
They're walking into the department store and Billy's got a bat and Stripe is on one TV saying gremlin stuff. And then he's on all the TVs.
Well, because
saying
Billy
stuff.
Breaks that one TV and then he's on every one of them.
He's like, oh, you thought you could get rid of me, didn't
this
you?
Is also terrifying because it's like he works at Radio Shack.
Right.
Like, why does the gremlin know how to do all of that?
He Matrix style downloaded the chip to Radio Shack knowledge.
Y'all forget he learned English.
Yeah.
He saw the sign that it doesn't show candy. It just says candy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Their intelligence level and capability of learning new things is terrifying.
Way better than me.
Yeah. I wish I was as smart as the gremlins.
Right? I cannot adapt to new things like this.
Still working on Twitter.
Twitter's so weird.
Still not on Twitter, guys.
It's a mystery.
Also, at the beginning of the scene, he's like, hey, Phoebe Cates. Go figure out how to turn the lights on. I'll take it from here.
Also, take care of Gizmo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does take her the better part of 30 minutes to figure out the lighting situation.
It does. Hey, lights are hard.
Yeah,
it
gotta
can
find,
be.
Got to find those switches.
And now we've introduced a fountain.
Yes.
Because we see a fountain. Because,
you know, they're in a department store.
Yeah.
There are fountains in department stores.
It's the
guys.
Gardening section.
It's a big garden fountain, not like a water fountain.
Oh, it's right next to the chainsaw annex.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
There's so much bonkers shit in this scene.
I know.
It's
this
a department store.
So they're in the sporting goods section.
Well, and this is when Billy gets a bat and starts like sort of chasing after. And it is like a back and forth between Stripe and Billy attacking each other.
Right.
Oh, my God. Stripe attacks him with a crossbow.
Yes.
How did we forget about the crossbow?
Well, because there's so much shit.
Let me reenact the sporting goods scene here. Billy comes around the bat.
Yes.
Stripe has the pitching machine set up, and then Billy gets hit with a bunch of baseballs.
American Gladiator style.
But hardballs.
Oh, yeah.
And he falls down, and Billy's like, Billy kind of gives up.
Yeah, Billy accepts his fate.
Then Stripe climbs over a thing with a crossbow and shoots Billy through the arm.
Oh, my God.
And then throws a boombox at him. Billy used the boombox to defend
himself. Yeah, because he was trying to shoot him again with a crossbow, and he blocks it with the boombox, and then Billy throws that boombox at Stripe.
But Stripe got a chainsaw now.
Oh,
but it's a plug-in chainsaw.
It is.
Which was his number one mistake.
I do love that it like cuts to like Stripe with a chainsaw. Chainsawing Billy is holding the bat.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Phoebe Cates fucking with the lights, trying to figure out how to turn them on. I think she's breaking into the fuse box at this point. Anyway, and it cuts back to Billy and stripe, and it's just like wood shavings all over Billy, and he's still holding the bat, and it's all like cut down. That shit's hilarious.
It's terrifying.
But this is when she gets the lights on,
yeah,
because that's what stops him from killing Billy with a chainsaw.
Well, and I think he gets far enough away that it unplugs the chainsaw.
Oh,
but the
yeah.
chainsaw,
no,
like,
it doesn't, because the lights come on, it scares him or like freaks him out, and he drops the chainsaw, and the chainsaw drags him away.
And then
he drags him into a wall. He hits his head, Stripe does, and then you hear Tweety Bird sounds.
I love this movie.
Is ridiculous.
Oh,
at the same time, Gizmo runs away from Phoebe Cates.
That is true.
Yeah.
Because he is taking matters into his own cute little pawed hands.
He's a Mogwai of action.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The dad and dog are driving by too, and this time the dog gets into the action too, because he's yeah. now an element in the department store.
Yes.
All right. So now Stripe has found the gun and ammo section.
Oh my God.
For this department store.
And also, Gizmo's found a Barbie car.
Yes.
Yes. And it's so cute.
And he's racing across the department store.
And he's reliving the movie he watched. Yes. Yeah. So he's racing across the department store, runs over the dog's paws, and it freaks him the fuck out.
Oh.
Billy's being shot at.
Yeah, literally with an actual gun, no longer crossbow.
Now Stripe jumps into the fountain.
Yes.
And starts like back hatching.
He gets back shingles.
And then he sees Gizmo, and he's like, Gizmo. And Gizmo floors his Barbie car.
Oh my God.
And like, up a shovel and careens
off
into the garden section of the department
Think
store.
About how smart he would have to be to like figure out the like he's doing calculus while driving the equivalent of 90 miles an hour in a Barbie car.
But at this point the sun's up and Gizmo had eyed the shutters.
I know, exactly. Mm. So he's doing this mental calculus to ramp off the shovel, get enough trajectory that he could grab the shutter thing and open it. It's insane.
And this is how Gizmo saves Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah. We salute you.
Fright Night style.
Yes. Because, spoilers for Fright Night, guys.
Right. If you haven't heard our episode on it.
Yeah, it's great.
30-year-old spoiler alert for Fright Night, guys.
Yeah, because Stripe gets Fright Nighted to death.
Yes.
The window opens and the light melts him. Melts him for a long time. And I think Billy's just kind of standing with his arms crossed like, hey.
Billy got his ass kicked.
Billy gives up, man.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phoebe Cates. No, Gizmo is the true hero.
But Phoebe Cates saved him with the lights. You're not wrong.
She did. Yeah.
So, like, for me, I was wondering if it was too late. Did he already hatch?
Yeah.
But he falls into the water. So Stripe falls into the water, and you're like, okay, he's either dead or going to get a second jump scare where there's like 90 of them pop out, and we're going to have to deal with this whole thing again.
Right.
Which it was the 80s. So I figured that was what's going to happen because it was insane. But the jump scare. The second jump scare after you think he's dead is just the skeleton version of Stripe jumping out.
Yeah, like
and that effect
melted.
Was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
The bones melt.
Yeah, it was really good.
So now we have the news report about the Christmas Eve riots that they're being called.
I really wanted a death toll because like a lot of people
died. It's like the whole town.
Yeah.
I think it's like 5,000 people.
Oh, man.
All right. And now, so the mom and Phoebe Cates are taking care of everybody, and like people have like bruises, and Billy's got that sling where you tie like a piece of fabric around your neck to keep his arm.
It is a low budget sling, but it in is. All fairness, the doctor's probably dead.
Exactly.
So.
And the pharmacy, I think, got blown up.
Yeah. There's no one to help any medical emergencies in this town, clearly.
It's every man for himself.
Yeah.
But now, guess who's back?
Uh-oh.
The grandfather from the beginning. He said, you guys have had your fun. Your town has been destroyed.
You mean Chinese Uncle Ben?
So Uncle Ben comes, gives the great response.
Yeah.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
Great Mogwai.
Well, great Mogwai comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His name is Mr. Wing.
Okay.
But also, he's not dressed like a racial stereotype this time.
No, he's dressed like just a person. Yeah, which is great.
It is great. And he collects Mogwai.
He does.
Or he collects Gizmo.
And he says, I've seen how you've let this get out of control and caused the deaths of thousands of people.
Yeah.
I don't think you're ready for this responsibility.
And also, my grandson was never supposed to sell you this thing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
This is still my property. But then Gizmo wants to say something to Billy.
And he says,
"My family." And it's so cute.
I did love that Uncle Ben in this scene says, of course I understand them. If you want to understand, all you have to do is listen.
Yeah. If you want to hear,
and then,
all you have to do is listen.
And then for the first time, he talks in perfect English.
No, he's been saying words.
He has, but it's been like.
And granted, this is just two words.
That's fair. Yeah.
But then, you know, Uncle Ben looks at the dad and is like, you're never, ever going to be ready. But he looks at Billy, he's like, Someday I think you're going to be ready.
Maybe.
Well, the dad's the worst. The dad's not ready to get a real job.
He can't even be a dad, much less take care of a Mogwai.
Exactly.
And he proves it by trying to give him that smokeless ashtray.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Although Uncle Ben does graciously accept the gift.
And then they're all standing outside on the porch, and it turns into the scene at the end of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where it looks kind of like a painting, because it's just like this beautiful Christmas scene.
It was really, it's a great effect. Like, it's done really well. Yeah, I liked it.
And now the father comes back. He's been gone the whole movie. Now he's back to say, hey guys, when your shit's not working in your house, it's not because I invented something terrible. It's because of a gremlin.
Oh, the voiceover.
Yeah.
And that's the movie.
Roll the credits.
Yes.
Well, thanks for sitting with my batshit insane Christmas movie.
Holy shit, this movie's insane.
It really was.
It's fucking rad, though. Like, it is amazing. I love this movie. It is not scary at all, but it is insane. It delivers on, like, 80s insanity. There are movies like House 2 that also delivers on 80s insanity. That's awesome. Everyone should see it. But there are movies in the 80s that no one should see.
Right.
Like Maximum Overdrive. Right? I've never seen it. I know it's a Stephen King joint, but it's a horrible movie. But yeah.
I've seen it a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are movies that try to create this insanity that it's just, this is one of those kind of things where it just has to come together in
this
just
is
the right way.
Authentic 80s insanity.
It is. It fucking nails what it's trying to do.
Also, as a kid, it was scary enough and cute enough where it all worked together.
That's probably fair. Yeah.
This is back when the kid movies were like legit.
I was too scared to watch it when I was a kid.
Were you?
For a while, yeah. And then when I got older, I was just like, oh, it's gross monsters. Nah.
And honestly, I never watched it because people told me that this was the scarier version of Gremlins 2. And I've watched Gremlins 2 because Gremlins 2 was not scary. It was more like slapstick and silly. And everyone was like, yeah, but don't watch Gremlins 1 because it's scary. So I avoided this. Like, I'd never seen this till tonight. And it's fucking rad. I wish I had.
Yeah. This is like if they made the Dora the Explorer movie, but then halfway through, Dora talks about her dad dying in a chimney.
That's true.
Why her parents aren't around is because her dad died in the chimney.
This movie goes places.
Has anyone seen Dora the Explorer and know that her dad did not die in a chimney?
We never see her dad. Yeah.
It was fun. The first time I watched this, I watched it by myself, and I did enjoy watching it better with you guys.
Yeah, it's more fun with a group.
It is, because the stuff that's nuts stands out a lot more when you don't have somebody to laugh at it with, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like, what the fuck is this?
I just watched Todd the whole time she talked about her dad dying in the chimney.
I kept looking back at you like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what makes it fun. So watch it with a group of people, really. But let's talk about box office. Let's move into that. So what do you guys think the budget for this movie was? And remember, it was 1984, so take that into account.
$2.5 million.
$2 million.
It was $11 million.
What?
You gotta think about all like the puppetry that goes into this.
They blew up that movie theater.
Yeah, they did. So like they put a lot of money.
They murdered all those people too.
So what do you think it made worldwide?
I think it did pretty well, didn't it?
$100 million.
What do you think?
$50 million.
Okay.
$1 billion.
$7 billion.
First off, both of you guys only get one guess. And you were a lot closer with your first one. $153 million worldwide. It was a hit for sure. It came out the same week as Ghostbusters. Mm. And it made $12 million in its opening weekend. It was only beat by Ghostbusters that made $13.5 million.
That would be such a great double feature.
Yeah. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was out too. It was like a great time to be on coke and wanted to go to a movie.
And had $7 in your pocket.
Because that's all it took to take you and a date.
Exactly, yeah.
Looking back, it's weird that my mom let me watch this movie as like a small child.
It is weird, yes.
And then I had that stuffed gizmo forever. I think I still have it at my
Yeah, you slept with it.
Yeah.
It's probably real sticky. Jen, can you hit us with some fun facts?
Yes, all right. So this was directed by Joe Dante.
Right.
It was produced by Steven Spielberg.
It was produced by Amblin. So
Yeah, but Steven Spielberg. But it was written by Chris Columbus.
Yes.
Yeah.
He directed the first two Harry Potter films.
He did. And he apparently just wrote this as a spec script to like show around, and he didn't intend it to be made, but Steven Spielberg saw it and was like, this is nuts.
Steven Spielberg was like, oh, and this is nuts. We have to make this.
Dobby was one of the background gremlins.
Oh, my God. You mean Dobby, but yeah.
I've only read that word.
I read it as Dobie too, but it's Dobby. Howie Mandel was the voice of Gizmo.
What?
I did know that.
I did not know that.
And Michael Winslow from Police Academy provided some of the sound effects.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This movie's the best.
This movie has everything.
It was inspired by Chris Columbus when he was in film school. He had mice in his apartment and he would just hear them making all these noises when he was trying to sleep. And he was like, interesting.
I'm going to write a movie raging about this.
So this originally was much darker.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I want to see that.
Me too.
Well, the dog died.
No. I'm out. Yeah. I'm out.
The mom got decapitated and they threw her head down the stairs.
Well,
yeah.
This movie sounds awesome.
Gizmo turned into Stripe.
That makes sense because they look similar.
Okay. But they changed it to make it like happier and Christmasier, which I think those are good changes. I would have been upset if any of those.
Me too. Don't kill a dog.
So Gremlins and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. We already talked about that. They came out and they were PG and they got a lot of criticism and backlash because this is a pretty violent movie.
Yeah.
And people are actually dying. And the Temple of Doom really disturbed me.
That's
too.
That's the one where they pull the heart out of the chest, right?
Kali Ma.
So a lot of people complained and that's what inspired the PG-13 ratings. Spielberg actually suggested this. Now, Red Dawn was the first
one. Yeah, we looked it up. Yeah,
we did. Yeah. To be released as PG-13, but the reason is because of these two movies.
I told you Temple of Doom.
No, you were wrong. Temple of Doom was not PG-13. It was PG. Temple of Doom and Gremlins inspired the rating of PG-13.
No, you're wrong. You just weren't listening.
And Red... yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. And Red Dawn's the first movie that had the PG-13 rating.
Well, that conversation wasn't on the podcast, so I guess we'll have to assume that I'm right.
No, I've got the tapes.
Make a tape.
The one time it works in my favor. All right. So Kingston Falls is the same set as Hill Valley from Back to the Future.
I was right.
You were right.
I made that joke because it looks like it. Literally the next year they produced Back to the Future on that set.
They did. Yeah.
Oh my God, I was right.
Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
All right, so
nailed it.
It does. I mean, it looks just like it.
It does,
especially the part where they like when they race the DeLorean down, and it's got the Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have seen Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So the actor who played Mr. Wing is named Che Luke. I'm probably saying that wrong.
Might be. We called him Uncle Ben.
Yeah, we did. His name in the movie is Mr. Wing, but I don't know how often you actually hear that. He was a veteran Chinese actor. He was in a bunch of Charlie Chan films. He was on a TV series called Kung Fu. And he was the original Kato in The Green Hornet.
No shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. He did a lot then.
He really did.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's just not as known to like us or like
no, our show Kung Fu is amazing.
Oh, have you seen it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. So there has been a rumor that there's going to be a Gremlins 3 for a while.
What?
Still a rumor.
Okay.
But there is going to be an animated series. It's going to be a prequel set in China following a young Mr. Wing.
Okay.
And it sounds like it's going to be written by a Chinese person and it's going to be really like culturally sensitive and it sounds really cool.
Awesome. All right.
But it's going to be a 10 episode series.
Where is it coming out on?
Disney Plus.
Is it Disney Plus?
I don't know.
I don't think it is.
But after The Mandalorian, they've got to have something else on it. Keep us watching it. Yeah.
I think it's related to something Steven Spielberg owns.
Amblin Plus.
Amblin Plus. Yeah, that's their prototype show. So and I will link a longer article to this, but real gremlins are a rumor. And we talked about this a little bit. So they are creatures said to infest aircrafts and bring them down. And they were originally British pilots in the First and Second World War started to complain about seeing little creatures in their airplanes and then like pulling out bolts and like trying to sabotage, like sucking the gas out of their
Twilight
their
Zone does.
Yeah,
this
that's
very
a gremlin
well.
In the
oh,
Twilight
yeah?
Zone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like the Simpsons version of it, Terror at 5.5 feet. But yeah, so that was it's hilarious. But yeah, so that was something that started to be complained about. It was kind of like an urban legend.
Right.
Most frequently reported during World War II, although Charles Lindbergh did say that he saw them when he was flying over the Atlantic, but he said they actually helped him by like keeping him awake. But they were known to like try to bring planes down. I think part of that was just that aviation was new and people weren't
making it. It was a scary thing. It was a new frontier.
Right. But there's another theory that says maybe cabins weren't pressurized back then.
That's what I was thinking.
And they were hallucinating.
And it was hallucinating these things. And so things that would just naturally go wrong with your plane, you could blame it on a gremlin. It's also like a way to get out of saying, I made a mistake and crashed this plane.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to use that at work.
Yeah, me too.
It was a gremlin. And those are my fun facts.
Well, thank you for your fun facts.
Those were, you're very welcome.
Really fun.
They were. I mean, fun it. Movies often have fun facts.
Well, just because we have to, let's do the scary scale.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, our scary scale is a ranking we use to say how scary we think the movie is. It's not how, it's not a quality of the movie. It's how scared we were tonight when we watched it. Our one example is Ghostbusters. Our 10 example is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Todd, what you got?
A one. It's not scary. It's fucking rad. You should watch it. If a horror virgin could easily watch this movie.
Yeah.
Take it from one. Mikey?
I'm going to give it a two.
A two?
What?
For triggering emotions?
No, I mean, like, some of it's pretty creepy.
Yeah, like when she's talking about her dad slipping in the chimney and breaking his neck and dying instantly, and Billy's over there like, what? I can't hear anything you're saying. Cut to Gizmo.
No, the skeleton at the end melting thing really messed me up as a kid.
That was cool.
And it still messes
scared
me
you
up.
Were tonight.
Well, oh. Messed me up tonight too. All right.
I see what's happening here.
It just brought out a lot of skeletons in your closet.
Oh.
And then I melted them.
Jen, what do you think?
I'm giving it a one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not, the appropriate score.
Hey, and guys, again, remember, this is not a quality of the film.
No,
it's a 10
just how scary yeah. we
it's
thought it was.
It's fucking rad. Go see it.
I liked it more than I thought I was going to.
It made a shitload of money. $153 million in the 80s.
Yeah, so it needs your support. So go check this little indie film. It's
all right, high road.
It took him so long to make a sequel.
Yeah. So this week, you guys made me watch Gremlins, and thank you, Mikey, personally.
We allowed you to
so
watch
much.
Gremlins.
That was fucking rad. What are we going to watch next week?
Well, this is another Mikey pick, and I have actually not seen this movie yet. So, Mikey, would you like to talk about?
Oh, it's Rare Exports.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You told me this one's in subtitles. It's our first subtitled movie. I actually watched the trailer for this today for Patreon. It looks bonkers.
Yep.
But it's also Norwegian, so I'm gonna have to read through the whole movie. So guys, watch Rare Exports. It looks bonkers and
you've
awesome
seen it, right?
Yeah. Okay. I picked it.
So we're gonna read a 5-star review that came in over the past week. We actually got quite a few reviews in the past few weeks, so thank you so much for that. We're
yes,
up at
thank you
219 right
wow.
now. That's
wow.
awesome.
But we've gotten another one since I checked earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, we did.
That's I remember awesome. We were trying to get 100.
I know.
Me too,
man.
Let's read
Happy Sally.
Happy Sally's. The title is hilarious.
Oh,
and there
Happy
is
Sally.
No
there's no accent.
Accent.
Okay. Happy Sally says, these guys are absolutely hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
I Thank used you. To listen to them while I worked the night shift, and now that I can't, it makes me so sad. I absolutely love horror movies and now have my own horror virgin and love
Wait,
that
does she own me?
I don't understand.
Maybe she has a horror virgin in her life.
Oh, that okay. That's yeah. more appropriate.
Oh, that makes sense. And I love that yes. I can share you guys with him.
Aww. We should have just read on because it does explain itself.
It's context clues, guys.
Yeah, context clues. Well, Happy Sally, I'm so glad you have a horror virgin in your life that you can share the horror virgin with.
Thank you for writing that review. That was really sweet.
Yeah. And thank you all for writing reviews. Those who have in the past and will in the future, you guys are amazing. It really does help people find the show. We are a member of the Modern Horrors Podcast Network. So make sure you're checking out all their shows like the Modern Horrors Podcast, Death, Dying, and Other Things, and the lovely Final Girls. Yes. But if you want to get our show 2 days earlier, listen to it in our feed. You're going to get it 2 days earlier than if you listen to it in their feed. Also, if you want to follow us on social, go to pretty much at Horror Virgin on all the socials. Mm. Mikey's personal socials is mrandolph24. Jen is at jenferatu. And I'm at Todd J. Awesome. If you want to find us on the web, go to horrorvirgin.com. That's where you'll find Jen's blog, links to the merch store, all that stuff. You can also find the Patreon at patreon.com/horrorvirgin. If you want to help us get new equipment, please sign up for one of our Patreon levels. There's a lot of great perks and a lot of great levels. We're actually talking about adding some stuff to that. So be looking out probably in the January time period for some fun announcements in that regard.
Yes.
Oh, guys, and if you want daily free content, check out the Facebook group.
And lots of really fun discussion, too.
It's awesome, really,
I think they're doing a Secret Santa
they
thing
are.
Right now. And
Secret
it's
Krampus.
Awesome.
Yes, it is amazing.
And we recorded an unboxing video tonight before we recorded this that we put in the Facebook group.
Yeah, that someone sent us an awesome cross stitch.
Yes,
Mallory, I'll say her first name. Mallory sent us an awesome cross stitch.
It's so cool. It makes me so
If
happy.
You want to see that video, go to the Facebook group. All that stuff's for free in the Facebook group. So go check it out.
We made a tape.
Counterpoint, we did make a tape.
It did get weird at the end.
It got real weird at the end, Mikey.
It usually does.
So that's going to be it from us, guys. We've got like 20 minutes before midnight and we're all hungry.
Yeah, so we got to get some food.
Yeah,
no joke, it's 11:27 right now.
Oh, no, I'm getting wet.
I sabotaged
what, Mikey? Please, no.
Gross. Wow. Do it in your own pod loft, Mike.
Wow.
So that's going to be it from us, everybody. On that note, I'm Jen.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm your horror virgin, Todd, guys.
Have an amazing holiday season week.
Bye. Yes.
I wish I could make babies by just drinking water and popping them out my back.
I wish that's how I could make babies, too.
Mogwai nerds. This movie's fucking rad.
Gizmo's the best character.
We got to do Gremlins 2 next year.
Bye, Gizmo.